Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Samach Tes. We are holding on daf Samach Ches Amid Beis. We are holding at Mai Taima de Munbas. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the sponsorship. So we're holding on Mai Taima de Munbas. There are two sugyos on today's daf. One sugya is we have to try to define the what shogeg means. Where's the border between shogeg and mezid? What exactly, because we had this machlokas yesterday between munbas and the chachamim, where the brisa says that munbas is mechayev chatos, even if a person was shogeg, but he had yediyah b'shas maisa. He knew at the shas maisa exactly what he was doing. So we were troubled by that, because Rabbi Kiva said to munbas, if that doesn't sound like a shogeg at all, that sounds very much like amazing. So how exactly do we define shogeg? What if a person knew that what he was doing was an avera, but he didn't know that yichayev karis for that avera? A person knew that yichayev karis, but he didn't know that yichayev achatos if you do it b'shogeg. So are all of these definitions also considered to be shogeg as well? Then the Gemara, after it gets through the discussion of what is called shogeg, we're going to have machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish within the sheet of the Chachamim. If a person is shogeg b'karis v'hizid b'lav, if that's considered shogeg and yichayev chatos or not. So the Gemara is going to discuss each of those shitos, what psukim they're based on, and what each one does with the other one's psukim. Then the second sugya on the daf is going to be the fascinating case of a person who's traveling in the midbar, and he realizes while he's traveling in the midbar that he has no idea what day it is. So when does he observe Shabbos if he has no idea what day of the week it is, and he has no way of finding out what day of the week it is? So this is a sugya that's relevant not only for the unusual case that's described by the Gemara, but post can use this as perhaps the way to figure out what day to keep Shabbos in the polar regions. What happens if you live in the North Pole, or you're visiting the North Pole, and for 6 months it's nighttime, and for 6 months it's daytime? So do you only observe Shabbos every 3.5 years? How exactly does one figure that out? So that's not directly discussed in the Gemara, but this Gemara may provide a model for how to behave under such circumstances. So let's begin again. Samach Ches Amud Beis, Mai Taima de Munbas. That's where we left off. So the Gemara it's about 5 lines before the lines get wide on Samach Ches Amud Beis. So again, we had said in the Braisa that according to Munbas, Yerchai v'chatas, even if you had a Yediyah b'shas Maisa, even though you knew at the time that you were doing the Avera, that you were doing an Avera. So Mai Taima de Munbas, why does Munbas say what he says? So Dechsiv, because the pasuk about Chatas for shogeg relating to Avodah Zarah tells us Torah achas yelachem la osa bishkaga v'samach lei, and when it describes mezid ba'avodah zarah, it says v'anefesh asher ta'ase biyad rama. So hikish shogeg lemezid. You see that the Torah links someone who does avodah zarah b'shogeg with regard to his chiyuv chatas to someone who does it b'mezid with regard to his chiyuv kares. Ma mezid shoyselo yedia av shogeg shoyselo yedia. Why does the Torah link the two to tell me that just like you only chayiv kares if you have the idea, if while you did it you knew what you were doing, so too the chiyuv chatos is only that a person had a idea b'shas maisa. So even though shogeg and mezid can't be defined exactly the same way, but the fact that there's a hekesh tells me that they're more similar than we would have otherwise thought. That shogeg also has to be that the person has some sort of idea b'shas maisa. So says Rav Rabbanan, Hay Torah achas may avdi. What are the Rabbanan Darshan from the Pasuk of Torah Achas? So Mibayilu, look at the Makri, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, the Bray, they needed to teach the Drasha that Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi taught his son. Torah Achas Yelachem Lo Sebishkaga, that the Pasuk says, Torah Achas Yelachem Lo Sebishkaga, Uksiv, and it says, prior to that, the Torah tells us, V'chisisku V'lo Sasu Es Kala Mitzvah Se'ela. So in the Hemshech of the Parsha, it talks about bringing a Chatas for this Shogig. So Kala Mitzvos is a reference to Avodah Zarah, because Avodah Zarah is Shkula Keneged Kala Mitzvos, right? So when it says Kala Mitzvos, it means specifically Avodah Zarah. So you Chayiv Chatos for a Shogeg relating to Avodah Zarah. If you did Avodah Zarah b'mezi, you chayiv kares. If there were edim and hasra, you chayiv skila. And if you did it b'shogeg, you bring a karmel chatas, right? That's what the halacha is when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Uksiv. And in the end of that parsha about someone who's over Avodah Zarah b'mezid, it says v'nefesh shatasa biyad ramah, and it says v'nechusa nefshi mikarav amah, that a person who does Avodah Zarah b'mezid is chayiv kares, and b'shogeg is chayiv chatos. So from the fact that it says in that parsha, Torah achas yelechem lo sa b'shkaga, you see that the same din is true for all other shkagos in the Torah. So hukshu kulam l'avodah zarah, all other karbanos that you bring for a shogeg, for every other aver in the Torah, is somehow linked to the karban for doing avodah zarah b'shogeg. So in what sense is avodah zarah a model for every other aver b'shogeg in the entire Torah? Ma lahalan davar shchayim alzon karz v'shogas v'chatos, just like by avodah zarah. The Torah is being mechayiv you karban chatos only by an avera where had you done it b'mezid you'd be chayiv kares. I've called davar shechayiv alzon kares v'shogas v'chatos. So to every other avera in the Torah, you're only going to be chayiv chatos if it's a kind of avera where had you done it b'mezid you would be chayiv kares. So the chachamim darshin the smichus of the psukim like Rabbi Shoban Levi and not like Munbaz. Munbaz derived from this smichus of the psukim from the hekish that we're making over here that a shogeg is chayiv chatos even if he has a yediyah b'shas ma'isa, even if he knew what he was doing at the time that he was doing it. But the chachamim say, no, this is teaching us a fundamental din about when a person is ever going to be chayiv a karban chatas. That one is only chayiv a karban chatas when he does an avera for which he'd be chayiv kares had he done it b'mezid. That's all we're deriving from this pasuk. Now, doesn't Munbaz agree to that din as well? Meaning Munbaz must also agree that you're only chayiv a chatas when you do an avera for which you would be chayiv kares. So yeah, he does, but he holds ein hekesh lemech. And therefore, he holds that from this hekesh, we can learn that it's a complete comparison between shogeg and mezid. So from the fact that we link shogeg to mezid, shogeg is also only chayiv unless he has a yediyah, just like a mezid. And the Rabbanan would say that we don't really make a hekesh between shogeg and the mezid because they're not similar to each other. Meaning the shogeg, the very definition of the difference between shogeg and mezid is how much yediyah you have. And therefore, you can't make a hekesh that blurs that line between shogeg and mezid, because that's the very definition of the difference between shogeg and mezid. So that's the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Munbaz. Now we had mentioned in the Braisa that Munbaz holds that even if you had a yediya b'shas maisa, it's still called shogeg, but we never explained why or what that even means. Meaning, isn't that the definition of mezid? If you have a yediya b'shas maisa, well, Munbaz shkaga b'mai. Since he knows the b'shas maisa that he's doing an Aveira, where is his shogeg? It seems that this is the very definition of mezid. So says the Gemara, no, kigon sheshagag bekarban. He knew that he was doing it, that he did an iser for which b'mezid your chayiv kares, but he didn't know that you'd be chayiv a karban chatos for doing this avera b'shogeg. So even though he's not really doing it b'shogeg, but that's called the shogeg if he didn't know the full implications of this iser. He didn't realize that a shogeg would carry with it a karban chatos. V'rabbanan shigas karban lo shmashkaga. The Rabbanan will say that doesn't change it from a mezid to a shogeg. The fact that he didn't know that you're chayiv a karban if you did it b'shogeg and he happens to not be doing it b'shogeg, he knows exactly what he's doing, you can't call that a shogeg. That's got to be called a mezid. Now the Rishonim are already bothered that, wait a second, the person knows there's no nishkares if he does this avera and doesn't stop him from doing the avera, right? The fact that he knows that yichayv kares doesn't stop him. Do you think that if he would have known that Yechayev HaChatos it would have stopped him for doing it b'shogeg, that it would have stopped him? In what way does the Chatos, I mean, the whole idea that we call a person a shogeg if he didn't know the full onesh of the Avera is that he didn't realize how serious it was. I mean, a lot of people, they know that the Orthodox Jews do this or that, but they assume that's just a custom, you know, that's their custom, and we have a different custom. They don't realize that this is, you know, God saying, you must absolutely do this, and, you know, take this very, very seriously. So the person doesn't take the Avera so seriously, because he doesn't understand the full implications. He doesn't know that there's an onesh for it. So that's all that's going on over here. So he doesn't take the Avera seriously. So, but but that implies that if he would know the full implications, he would take it seriously. Only if he's shav mi yediyaso, had he known, then he would not do the avera. Only then is he going to be chayiv a karban. Is this guy really a shav mi yediyaso? He knows that he chayiv karis. That didn't stop him. So knowing that you'd be chayiv a karban if you do b'shogeg, that's going to stop him. So the achronim explain that yes, it would stop him because in a certain sense, a karban is more severe than kares. How could a karban be more severe than kares? Kares sounds much worse. Well, kares is something that if you do tshuva, you can avoid the kares. You can do tshuva from chayav ikrisus and therefore become putter from the kares. Not only that, you could also get malchus and be putter from the kares. That was the whole little controversy 500 years ago when they wanted to restart the smicha. There were people who wanted to get malchus because they felt that they were chayiv kares and they wanted to be patur mikrisasam. So there's a way to get out of being chayiv kares. So the people were pushing for smicha to get restarted because you can't get malchus unless you have a beis din of musmachim that give malchus. So but kares is something that you could do tshuva for, something that you can get out of. Karban, there isn't really anything in beis din shalmata. Anything that gets governed down here, there's no tshuva doesn't save you from, which is a fascinating topic in its own right. Why that is the case, right? What if a person murders somebody else and they take him to court and they say, "Did you murder so and so?" And he says, "No." They say, "What do you mean, no? We have two edim and hasra, and you said afal pikein the whole thing. You did everything exactly. We have it on video, everything." He said, "No. That was the person I was yesterday, but I've done tshuva since then, and now I'm a totally different person. So I didn't murder someone." So Beis Din would still kill the guy. They don't say, "Oh, we believe in the koach tshuva, and therefore you're pater." So why? We do believe in the koach tshuva. We do believe that a person can do tshuva. We might even believe that this guy did tshuva. So why is it that he said? So that's a fascinating question about tshuva in general. But that is the halacha, certainly, right? The halacha is certainly that anything that gets legislated and punished down here, we don't pay attention to tshuva. So a person cannot get out of bringing a karban just because he did tshuva, and therefore there's a certain finality to the onesh of a karban. So that might make it more serious in a person's mind. So says Gemara Rabbanan, the Rabbanan hold that you need to be shogeg about the avera itself. Shkaga b'mai, meaning again, Munbaz holds you don't need to be shogeg about the avera. You can know that the avera is asur, remember that it's asur as you're doing it, and still call the shogeg because you didn't realize the full implications. You didn't realize that there's a chiyuv chatas or a chiyuv karis associated with it. But the rabbanu hold that you need to be shogeg about the avera itself. So shkaga b'mai, what element of the avera do you need to be shogeg about? Does it have to be shogeg about the entirety of the avera, meaning that you don't know that it's a lav and you don't know that it's karis? You don't even know that it's aser. Or maybe even if you know that you're in violation of a lav, but you didn't know the onesh, you didn't know that you're chayiv kares, maybe the Rabbanan would consider that a shogeg as well. Meaning, granted, the Rabbanan aren't going to go as far as Munbaz and say that if you didn't know that you're chayiv a karban, that it's a shogeg, but the Rabbanan might say if you didn't know that you're chayiv kares, you thought it was just a regular losase, and you didn't know that it's chayiv kares, maybe the Rabbanan would agree that that's called shogeg, or maybe not, right? That's the shaila. Did the Rabbanan hold that you need to have not known that it was even Asr? Or did the Rabbanan hold, no, even if you just didn't know that it's a Chiyuv Kares, that you're still going to be, it's still going to be called a Shogeg. So this is a Machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kivin Sheshog B'Kares Afal Pi Shehezid B'Lav, even though you knew that it was Asr, you just didn't know that you're Chiyuv Kares, that's enough to be called a Shogeg. Reish Lakish Amar Ad Sheishkog B'Lavu B'Kares. And Reish Lakish says that no, it has to be Shogeg through and through, about Lav and Kares. Meaning you have to have not known that it was Asr in order to be Chayiv a Karban. So now the Gemara explains the basis for Reish Lakish. Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Shimon Lakish, why does Reish Lakish hold you're only Chayiv a Chatas if you didn't even know that it was Asr at the time that you were doing it? Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says with regard to a Nasi that does an Aveira, the Pasuk says, Asher Nasi Yechtava Asa Achas Mikol Mitzvot Hashem Elokav, Asher lo se asena bishkaga viashem. So it sounds like you're only chayiv chatas ad she yishkog belav vikari shaba, because the pasuk says he does one of the mitzvos she lo se asena, which means a lav, and he does that bishogeg. It means he didn't even know that it was an avera to begin with. So it says wherever Rabbi Yochanan high crowd Rabbi Shimon Lakish my avodai, sounds like a good rasha. What's Rabbi Yochanan going to do where the pasuk of Reish Lakish, how could Rabbi Yochanan say that even if you knew that it was aser, you just didn't know that you chayiv kares for it, that that's called a shogeg? So mi bayle lechadetanya, he uses the pasuk of Reish Lakish to tell me what we learn in the brisa about the following brisa. The pasuk talks about an individual that does an avera, and it says mei am haaretz. The full pasuk is v'im nefesh achas techta b'shkaga mei am haaretz. The fact that it says mei am with a mem sounds like not every am haaretz brings a korban chatas. Prat lemumar. That tells me that someone who's a mumar to violate that avera b'mezid is not going to be is not going to be able to pater himself with a chatas, meaning he will not be able to achieve kapara with a chatas. When we say that someone is pater from a chatas, it can mean two things. It could mean that he didn't violate a severe enough avera to be chayav a chatas, or it could mean that he violated an avera that was so severe that he doesn't get kapara with a chatas, meaning that's the principle, according to some Rishonim, of Ein Onshin Min Adin. We have a principle that we're not going to apply an onesh based on the kal v'chomer, that if you chayav this onesh for Avera A, and Avera B is a more severe Avera, then Kal V'chomer, you're going to be chayiv that onesh for Avera B. Why don't we say that? So one of the explanations in the Rishonim is that very often the onesh may, we don't just punish people just because we like to hurt people. The punishment is meant to achieve a kapara. It's meant to cleanse them of their Avera. So the onesh may achieve kapara for Avera A, but maybe it's not going to be strong enough to achieve kapara for Avera B. And therefore, we're not going to do onchim nadin. So the same is true when it comes to a carbon. We're not going to be mechayev a carbon when you do something b'mezid, because it's not going to work. It's not going to do anything when you mechayev b'mezid. It's not going to allow the person to achieve kapara. So not only b'mezid, but a mumar la'avodah zarah, even if he did it b'shogeg, is not going to be mischaper with a carbon chatas. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Mishum Rabbi Shimon, this din that a mumar is not mischaper with a carbon is derived from the pasuk that it says about a nasi that does an avera. Asher lo se'asana b'shkaga v'yashem, and the pasuk says afterwards that hodei lov chatasor asher chataba v'hevias karbono, that as soon as he realizes what he had done, that he had done that avera, he's then going to bring a karbon. So the mashmo, so the pasuk is that that you chayev a karbon only if hashav mi yidiyaso may be karbon al shigaso. It's only if as soon as he realizes he would not have done that avera, had he realized what he was doing, he would not have done the avera, then he brings a karbon for the shogeg. But lo shav mi yidiyaso, this guy does this avera all the time. He's a mumar for this avera. So it could be this time he didn't realize what he was doing, but that's irrelevant. Even had he realized what he was doing, he would have done the avera anyway. So then, if he's lo shav mi yidiyaso, eini may be karbon al shigaso. He does not bring a carbon for his shogeg. And Rabbi Yochanan holds, like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that this pasuk is coming to be mema'it a mumar. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan cannot learn from Reish Lakish that if you're mezid belav, that you're pata from a chata. Say you only shogeg, even on the very yisr, is chayev a chatas. So now the Gemara asks on the sheet of Reish Lakish. Tanan, we have the most famous Mishnah in the entire Masechta coming up in four blat from now, where the Mishnah is going to tell us avos melachos arba'im chasarachas, that there are 39 avos melachos of Shabbos, and the Mishnah is going to list all 39 avos melachos of Shabbos. Va'avinan ba minyan alamili, and the Gemara asks the question on that Mishnah: why do you have to tell me how many there are? Just list them, and I'll realize how many there are. So, and the Gemara is assuming by asking that question that you'd be able to identify where to put the commas, right? That if you list all of them, that you'll be able to identify which ones are malachas, right? It doesn't always work out that way. A lot of times we have lists and people aren't sure exactly the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, right? Where are they? Huge machlokas Rishonim. Is Hashem, two separate Midos HaRachamim, or is it the same of the Midos HaRachamim? Meaning, how do you identify them? Even the Memchas Kinyanei Torah in the sixth parak of Pirkei Avos. So where exactly you put the commas in the is Mamido ala MS and Mamido ala Shalom two separate ones, or is Mamido ala MS va Shalom? Right? So, but the Gemara assumes that that with a list of 39 avos melachos, that much we'd figure out. We'd figure out where to put the commas. So why do you have to tell me that there are 39? We can figure it out. We can count up to 39. Vam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explains the reason we have to be given a number. Shemasan kulam behelam echad chayav al kalachas vachas. To tell me that if a person does all of the melachos without realizing in between, he's chayav a separate korban chatos for each one of them. He's not just chayav one big korban chatos for the general avera of chilul Shabbos. He's chayav separately. There's such a thing called chiluk melachos. So what exactly is the case where a person does all 39 melachos bishogeg? He's going to be chayiv a separate carbon for each of them. Bezadon Shabbos v'shigas melachos. How can you have a case where he was mazed about Shabbos? He knew that that day was Shabbos, but he didn't know that those melachos were asr on Shabbos, and yet it's still called that he was zadon Shabbos. Meaning, if he didn't know about any of the 39 melachos, what exactly does it mean that he knew about Shabbos? You can't say that that's called zadon Shabbos. He held that, meaning in his mind, Shabbos is the same as every other day of the week, because there are no malachos that are asked to do on Shabbos. So Bishlam, the Rabbi Yochanan, Damer Kivin Shoshag Bekaris Alfbi Shizid Belav Mishkach Zogon Diyad Lo B'Shabbos Belav. If you say like Rabbi Yochanan that it's called a shogeg when you know that what you're doing is asr, you just don't realize how asr. You just don't realize what the onesh is. So then I understand how you can have a case where a guy does all 39 malachos and he was mazed about Shabbos, but shogeg about the malachos that he knew that it was Shabbos. What does it mean? He knew that it was Shabbos. He knew that all these things were asr, but he did not know that Yechayv Kares for them. He knew about all 39 melachos. He just didn't know that Yechayv Kares for them. So that works out very nicely, that could be such a case of Zadon Shabbos and Shigas Lav, where he violates all 39 melachos. El Rav Shimon Lakish Ta'amar Ad Shishkog Belav Ubekares Diadalei L'Shabbos B'mai. But if you hold like Rav Shimon Lakish that the only way you can call it a shogeg is if he didn't even know that the thing was Aser, that what he was doing was Aser, so what exactly is the shogeg over here? There's no shogeg if he didn't, if he did all 39 melachos, what exactly is the hizid b'Shabbos over here? He didn't know that it was Shabbos if he thought all 39 melachos were mutter to do, because what does that mean that he knows that it was Shabbos? He didn't know anything about Shabbos. So it says, well, there's more to Shabbos than just the melachos. He knew something else about Shabbos. The yad b'tchumen. He knew that there's an isser to go outside of the tchum Shabbos, and you're not chayiv a carbon for that isser. That's just a regular los haseh. So from that, we learn Valibid Rabbi Kiva, and assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Kiva that the Isur of Tchumin is an Isur Daraisa. So that's why it's called Zadon Shabbos, because he knew that there's such a thing that he's not allowed to travel too far away from home. So that's enough of a knowledge of Shabbos to call it Zadon Shabbos v'shigas melachos. Because knowing that he's chayv that tchumin are aser, even though you're not chayv a korban for tchumin. The Maran Rashi is the one that Rashi in Dibur Maskel B'Tchumin points out that you're not chayv a korban for tchumin. So the Maran within Rashi explains that Rashi had to say that there's no chayv korban on the Yisr tchumin, so that you don't ask that if the Mishnah is assuming like Rabbi Akiva, why doesn't it say that there are 40 malachos? Meaning, how can you say there are only 39? There's tchumin also. So tchumin should count as one of the malachos. So that's why Rashi says, no, it doesn't count as a malacha because you're not chayiv chatas for tchumin. So that's why it's not considered a malacha. Tosfos raises the question, why doesn't the Gemara say, meaning there are two mitzvahs in the Torah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that Shabbos includes two mitzvahs d'oraisa and two mitzvahs midivrei Kabbalah. The two mitzvahs d'oraisa are Shamar and Zachar. Appears in the Aseres Hadibros in two different forms. Shamar is Yom HaShabbos Kacho, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos Kacho. Two mitzvahs midivrei Kabbalah are Kavod and Oneg. So the only two mitzvahs in the Torah relating to Shabbos are Shamar and Zachar. Shamar means you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. Zachar means that you have to say Kiddush on Shabbos. According to the Rambam, it also means you have to say Havdalah on Shabbos. According to some Rishonim, it means Kiddush, Havdalah, three Seudos, Lecha Mishnah, all of the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs I say, not Hadlakas Neros, but all the mitzvahs I say of Shabbos. So why does the Gemara, when it has to come up with a way that this guy knows that it's Shabbos, why does the Gemara have to say, oh, you know, he knows about Tchum Shabbos? Take what it says in the Torah. It It says Zachar Yom Shabbos Kachor. Maybe that's what he knows about Shabbos. There are Jews like that. There are Jews that do not know that there's any restrictions of what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but they know that you light the candles and you have a festive meal and you say some sort of blessing at the meal. So they're familiar with Zachar. So isn't that why didn't the Gemara give that explanation? So the Rashba writes that Enochinami, the Gemara could have given that answer, but for the Gemara had a different answer, so it didn't bother giving that answer. However, many other Rishonim, Ravram ben Arambam and the Ramban and the Ritva, bring a raya from the fact that the Gemara didn't say that he was aware that there's a mitzvah of Shabbos. It must be a raya that even someone who does know that there's an assay by something that's considered amazed, it's still going to be considered amazed. It's not going to be considered a shogeg. Even if he knows that there's nisra assay b'davar, he's still considered amazed, meaning they have to find a los assay. They have to find something that's an isser rather than a mitzvah in order for it to properly answer the question. So that's the yesod that they draw from the fact that the Gemara says that the case must be that he knew about Tchum Shabbos v'alibed Rabbi Akiva. Now, says the Gemara Vayter, man tana l'hadutan rabbanan. We had this machlokas between Munbaz and the Chachamim about a shigas korban. A guy knew that something was asr. He knew that you chayv kares for it. He just didn't know that you chayv a korban if you do it b'shogeg. So Munbaz says, that's called the shogeg. And the rabbanan say, no, that's called mezid. So man tana l'hadutan Rabbanan, which of those two is the author of the following brisa? Shagag bazeh ubazeh. If a person did a malacha not realizing that it was Shabbos and not realizing that the malacha that he was doing was aser, so he didn't know that it was shigas Shabbos and shigas malachos, so he didn't know anything. Zeh shogeg amar b'torah. That's definitely called the shogeg, and he's chayav chatas. He's in bazeh ubazeh. He did a malacha knowing full well that it was Shabbos and knowing that this was a malacha, Zui Mezid, Amr B'Tavra, that's a textbook Mezid. That's exactly the case of Mezid. You would never be Chayiv Echatos on that. Shogeg B'Shabbos V'Hizid B'Malachos. But if he was shogeg about the fact that it was Shabbos, and he didn't know that it was Shabbos, but he knew that these malachos are usher to do on Shabbos, O Shoshogeg B'Malachos V'Hizid B'Shabbos, or he didn't know that these malachos are asur to do on Shabbos, but he knew that today is Shabbos. O shamri yodei anisha malachos asura, aval eini yodei shechayev nala karban olo. But, or you have a case where a guy knows that it's Shabbos, and he knows that he's not allowed to do this on Shabbos. He just doesn't know that you chayev a karban for this. Chayev. That's enough to say that you chayev a chatos, that it's a shogeg. So come on, kemunbas. That obviously goes like munbas. It's exactly the sheet of munbas. Munbas says you could know everything except for the fact that there's a chayev karban for this avera, and that's enough to call you a shogeg. Just the fact that you didn't know that there was a chayev karban for this avera. So now we had a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, within the sheet of the chachamim. What if you knew that it was an avera, but you didn't know that there's a chayev kares associated with it? Is that called a shogeg? So that was Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So Amar Abaye, Hakol Modim, both Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish would agree, Bishvuas Bitui, that when it comes to the Isra of Shvuas Bitui is it could be someone who swears about the future, that he's going to do something or that he won't do something, or someone who's Nishva al-Sha'avar, that he did something or that he had not done something. So someone who takes a Shvuas Bitui and violates the Shvuah b'shogeg, or he was shogeg and he didn't know that that there was a Chiv, is someone who takes a Shvuas Bitui and violates the Shvuas Bitui b'shogeg, or he was shogeg and he didn't know that that he was incorrect about what he was saying, meaning if it's about Lahaba, he takes a Shvuah and then doesn't do it, or his Shvuah was about L'sha'avar, but he was shogeg, he thought that he had done it when he's saying that he hadn't, or vice versa. So that's a Shvuas Bitui. So everyone agrees by Shvuas Bitui, She'in Chayavin Ala Karban At Sheishkog B'Lav Sheba. You have to have not known that it was Aser in order to be Chayav a Karban. So Akol Modim Man. Who is the Akol Modim over here? Who are we emphasizing that we would have thought argues but does not argue? Says Gemara Rabbi Yochanan. The Akol Modim is Rabbi Yochanan. Well, Pshita, obviously Rabbi Yochanan is Modim by Shvuas Bitui. Because Rabbi Yochanan, Kikam Rabbi Yochanan, when does Rabbi Yochanan say you're Chayav a Karban, even if you were not shogeg about the lav, even if you knew that the avera was aser, hechadika kares. That's where it's something that involves kares, and you were shogeg about that. You were unaware of the kares that exists. Aval hacha delaka karis lo. Shavuos bitur is unique because Shavuos bitur you chayv a carbon chatas, even though if you do b'mezid you're not chayv karis. So there is no karis by Shavuos bitur. So yes, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that even though you knew that the avera you were doing is an avera, and you knew at the time you were doing it that you're doing the avera, but you just didn't realize the full extent of it. You didn't realize that there's a chayv karis. That's called shogeg. So obviously that doesn't apply to Shavuos bitur because there's no such thing as not realizing there's a chayv karis. There isn't a chayv karis. So the whole concept won't exist by Shavuos bitur. So isn't it obvious that Rabbi Yochanan would agree by Shavuos bitur? That by Shavuos bitur that you're not chayiv karban unless you didn't even know that it was asur in the first place. So says Gemara Salka Taita Chamina. One might have thought hol v'chayiv karban chiddushu, that since the fact that Shavuos bitur is chayiv karban in the first place is a great chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? To call it Torah kulo ashkal lav demaisi ala karban, because in the whole rest of Torah we never find a regular lo saseh that you chayiv karban. You're only chayiv karban for things that there's a chiyuv karis for when you do them b'mezid v'hacha maisi. And yet over here by Shavuos bitur there's no karis and still you chayiv karban. So I might have thought ki shagag b'karban nami l'chayiv. That I might have thought that if he was shogeg only about the chiyuv karban, that he knows that it's asir, and there's nothing to know about kares because there is no kares, but he doesn't realize that yichayiv a karban. I might have thought that that's enough to consider him a shogeg. So kamash mlan. That's why Abai is telling me that Rabbi Yochanan's moda that the rabbanon would hold that that's not called a shogeg if he was shogeg b'karban. He's only chayiv a karban if he was shogeg b'lav, if he didn't know that the entire thing was asir. Now it's interesting. We refer to Shavuos bitur as a chiddush. So what exactly is the chiddush? So the Gemara explains the chiddush is that even though there's no chiyuv kares, nevertheless you're still going to be chayiv a karban if you do a b'shogeg. So why is that? What makes that a chiddush? So over here it's a good illustration of what the Gemara means whenever the Gemara says that something is a chiddush, because l'chora kala tarakula is a chiddush, meaning any mitzvah that's not a mitzvah sichlis, any mitzvah that I would not have known on my own from a basic innate sense of morality, it's a chiddush, right? Is it not a chiddush that I'm not allowed to wear shatnis? Is it not a chiddush that I have to take dalad minim on sukkis? Meaning, chiddush cannot mean something that I would not have known had the Torah not told it to me, because that therefore makes it a chiddush to me. So Rav Shachter often points out that the definition of chiddush is a davar asoser asaklal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and in the Torah we have many, many klalim that seem to work throughout, that seem to be these general rules that carry through in a lot of places, that work in a lot of places. Every once in a while, you have an exception to that rule. So an exception to the rule, that's what we call a chiddush. Everything, the whole Torah is a chiddush. But what we mean when we say chiddush is within the rules that the Torah has already given us, within the klalim that the Torah has already given us, so then there is an exception to that klal. That's what we call a chiddush. So here also, there is a rule that you're only chayiv a karban chatos if the avera b'mezid would be chayiv kares. Oh, but there's an exception. Shavuos bitur is an exception, and therefore it is labeled as a chiddush. So now the Gemara asks Meisvei. The Gemara asks on Abaye, Ezu shigas Shavuos bitur l'sha'avar. What's a case that a person will be chayiv chatos for a Shavuos bitur of what already happened? Because if he's taking a shvuah about the future, a shvuah that he won't eat, so I understand that there could be a shogeg at the time that he violates that shvuah. He eats. He didn't remember that he had taken the shvuah, so that's a shogeg. But if he swore about the past, a shvuah sha'achalti, that I already ate, and the truth is he had not yet eaten, how could that be called a shogeg? If at the time that he takes the shvuah that he ate, he thought that he in fact ate, then it's an ones, it's not a shogeg, so your ones is not chayiv karban. So the Bryce explains, shemamri yodeh anisha shvuah zu asura, aval in yodeim chayiv nala karban alo, chayiv. No, he knows that he's not telling the truth, and he knows that it's asur to swear to something that's not true, but he didn't know that you chayiv a karban for it. So that's enough to be considered a shogeg for which he's chayiv a chata. So you see that a shigas karban is called a shkaga against Abaye, who said that everyone agrees by Shavuos bitur that you're not chayiv a karban unless you're shogeg belav, unless you don't even know that it's asur. So it says Mara Hamani Munbasi. Now that price is following the sheet of Munbas. The whole machlokas that we had was within the sheet of the Chachamim, but that price is following the sheet of Munbas that holds that a shigas karban is always called a shkaga. But according according to the Chum, we hold that whenever there's a Shigas carbon, it's not called the Shkaga, so Bishvus Bito, it's also not called a Shkaga. Okay, we're going to skip the parentheses, and now we could go on to Va'am Rabaye. Va'am Rabaye, Kol Modin Betruma, Shein Chayev Nalachom B'Shash Yishkog B'Lav Sheba. Everyone agrees if a non-Kohen eats Truma B'Shogeg, that you're only Chayev Chomesh if you were Shogeg about the fact that it's Aser, that you thought that it was Chulin, and that you were not violating any Iser by eating this. So Kol Modiman, who is the Kol Modim? Who's Abaye trying to emphasize, who would normally disagree but agrees in this case? So Rabbi Yochanan, it must be that he's talking about Rabbi Yochanan. Well, Pshita, it's obvious that Rabbi Yochanan is Moda by Truma. Kiyam Rabbi Yochanan, Echa di Kakaris, Echa de la Kakaris lo. Rabbi Yochanan is only going to say you're Chayav a Karban when, even if you were not Shogig about the Isser Shabo, when there is a Kares, and you were Shogig about the Kares, that you were unaware of the Kares. But if there is no Chayav Kares, then of course you have to be Shogig about the Lav in order to be Chayav a Karban. So says Marna, Mao de Tema Misa Bemakum Kares Omedes. By Truma, it's different, because Truma, it's not that there's just no Kares, there's something in place of the Kares. There's Misa B'dei Shemayim. If a non-Kohen eats Truma, he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. So I might think that Misa takes the place of the role of Kares when it comes to Truma. V'chi Shagag B'Misa Nami L'Chayav. And therefore, even if you knew that that a Zar eating Truma was Aser, and you knew that it was Truma, you just didn't know that there was Misa B'dei Shemayim involved. So I might have thought that too counts as a Shogeg. I mean, Rabbi Yochanan's willing to count a Shogeg as something that you knew that it was Aser, you knew what you were doing was Aser, you just didn't know that there was kares involved. That's a shogeg, so maybe you can say the same thing about Misa B'dei Shemayim. So Kamash Mulan, that's what Abai is telling me in the Chiddush, that Misa B'dei Shemayim is not just a replacement for kares, and therefore it's not considered a shogeg when what you were unaware about is the Misa B'dei Shemayim. Rava Amar Misa B'makom Kares, Amedes V'chomesh B'makom Karban Kai. That Misa is B'makom Kares, and Chomesh is B'makom the Karban. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan holds that just like by other Averos, Yechayev a Karban on Shigigas Kares, by Truma, Chayev Chomesh on the Shigas Misa B'dei Shemayim, meaning by Truma it's not a Chiddush, because by Truma there is no there's no Korban, but there is Chomesh, there's paying back the extra Chomesh. So that's the Machlokas, is do the rules of Chomesh as it relates to Misa B'dei Shemayim follow the same rules as Korban as it relates to a Chayev Kares? Good, period. That's the end of Sugya number one in the Daf. We left a couple of minutes for the next Sugya. You're traveling in the desert, you don't know when Shabbos is. So what do? You don't know what day it is. So Mona Shishiyam, Meshamer Yom Echad, count 6 days, and then that seventh day you keep a Shabbos. Chia Barav, Omer Meshamer Yom Echad, Umona Shisha. No, keep the first day of Shabbos, and then count the next 6 days as the weekdays. So B'maikam Ifli, what are they arguing about? Meaning, there's no greater chance one way or the other that one day is Shabbos. It's a stab in the dark anyway. So Mar Savak Briyasu Shalolam, that you follow the Briya of the world, that there were 6 days, Shesh Shemei Masa, and then there was seventh day with Shabbos. Umar Savak No, but that wasn't Adam's experience. Adam came into the world, and the next day was Shabbos. So you keep it right away, it became Shabbos. So Meisvei Haimalik B'Darach V'Yonei Deyem Asay Shabbos Meshamer Yom Echad L'Shisha. It says Meshamer Yom Echad L'Shisha. So my love, Mona Shisha Meshamer Yom Echad, doesn't that mean you count 6 days and then the seventh day is Shabbos? Lo, Meshamer Yom Echad Mona Shisha. Maybe it means you keep Shabbos and then you count 6 days. Iachi Meshamer Yom Echad L'Shisha Meshamer Yom Echad Umona Shisha Mibaylei. If that's what it meant, it should have said it more clearly, that you observe one day of Shabbos and then you count 6 days. Plus the Brisa says explicitly that first you count the 6 days and then you observe one day of Shabbos. So tiyufta dechiyav arav, tiyufta seinachinami, that's a tiyufta, and therefore we assume that you count 6 days and then observe Shabbos. Amar Rava, b'kol yom v'yom. So what do you do each and every day? So each of the 6 days that you're not observing a Shabbos, Oslo Kadei Parnasaso, you could do whatever malacha you need to do in order to be able to eat that day, because it's Pikuach Nefesh otherwise, Bar Me'ahu Yoma, except for that day that you're keeping a Shabbos, then you're not allowed to do Kadei Parnasaso because you can't do any malacha. Bahu Yoma Lemos, says Gemara, well, if all you're allowed to do on each day, because there's still a chance that each day might be Shabbos, so all you're allowed to do is Kadei Parnasaso, just what you need to survive. So on the seventh day, we just want you to die? You're not supposed to do enough to survive? So says Mar Dov Me'at Molshtei Parnasos. No, the day before that seventh day, you make sure you work enough to supply yourself for 2 days. Says Mar, but V'dom Me'at Mol Shabbos Havai. The day before that seventh day has just as good a chance of being Shabbos as the seventh day has of being Shabbos. So how does it make sense to do double the malacha on the previous day? Ela kol yom yom osalo Kedei Oslo Parnasaso. No, all 7 days you do Kedei Parnasaso. Afilu Ahu Yoma. Even the day that you're keeping a Shabbos, you're going to do Kedei Parnasaso. Vahu Yoma B'mai Min Kalei, says Gemara. But then what makes that day Shabbos? If you're doing the same amount of Malacha each and every day, what makes that day Shabbos? So says Gemara, B'kiddush Avdalta. You observe, you say Kiddush and you say Avdalah. That's what makes it Shabbos. Because Einachinami, other than that, there's nothing that distinguishes it because you're generally refraining from Malacha, but you're doing enough melacha to provide yourself with enough food to eat. Oh, wait a second. Why didn't the Gemara say that what makes it Shabbos is that you don't go chutz l'tchum? Remember when we had a guy who did all 39 melachos and he knew that it was Shabbos? So we said, what does it mean he knows that it's Shabbos if he does all 39 melachos and he's unaware that all 39 melachos are aser? So he said, oh, he knew about tchum Shabbos. Why can't we say the same thing over here? That what makes this day Shabbos is that he doesn't go chutz l'tchum? So says Tosfos, because he's allowed to go chutz l'tchum. He's allowed, meaning that when a person is in a midbar and he's stuck and he's nowhere near a yeshuv, he's allowed to continue traveling as long as it takes to get where he needs to go. Whatever is going to get him out of the situation, he's allowed to do. This is used by Poskim, that idea of Tosos is used by Poskim to explain that if a person is in a situation where there are averos that are going to be happening by virtue of his situation, he's allowed to violate some level of Isser in order to get out of that situation. Rav Asher Weiss has a now famous tshuva about someone who has OCD. So the person wants to know, the doctor told him that he cannot keep repeating Shemon Esrei 1,000 times because he's choshesh that he didn't have kavana. So the person wants to know, but what if I really didn't have kavana? So how could I not repeat Shemon Esrei? It's against the halacha. So he said, yeah, you're allowed to violate the halacha to get out of a matzav where you're going to be violating Yisurim all the time. So if that's going to be the therapy, that's going to be what gets you out of that situation. It's like continuing to travel past the Tchum Shabbos, realizing that that's the only way to get out of that situation. Okay, we're going to stop over there. We'll pick up tomorrow. Amar Rava. Three lines of having a wife.
Good day, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Rabbi.
My pleasure.
Good day.